All right, so we talk a lot about planning for big attendance on Easter Sundays. But what happens when your attendance actually drops on big holidays? How does your church adapt? Can you still create quality experience from those who come on Easter? We'll talk about that today with a pastor from a church that sees their attendance dip on big days. We'll talk about what happens and how they make the most of it.
Hey there, church communicators. It's episode 7 of season 2 of the Church Juice podcast. I'm Brian Haley, the producer of Church Juice, and I'm joined in studio with my co-host Josh Rickard. We're also joined in studio today with my friend Dirk Van Eyck. We're here to help you energize your church communications.
All right. So today we're joined in studio with Dirk Van Eyck. Dirk is the lead pastor at Encounter Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dirk, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's get started with an easy question. It's a question that we ask all of our guests here on the show for season 2 Easter here. What is your favorite Easter memory?
Oh man, for Easter, I probably should have like some great memory of like going to church with my family as a kid or something. But if I'm being totally honest, my favorite Easter memory is about maybe 4 years ago. We're meeting at a little school, public elementary school here in town, and Easter morning, we go in and we were met with a group of people who were protesting our church.
It's great.
Right? No, we weren't like big time deserving of protest at all. That wasn't the context of it. We had just put an offer on a building and it leaked out to some of the staff people there that the bank was selling it. And they were very upset about it. And they came to let us know.
On Easter.
On Easter Sunday morning. Wild. And I'm like 27 at the time or something like that. I don't know how to handle this. I'm like, let's go to the teacher's lounge and talk about this.
Yes.
Like, what in the world? To build on that, though, one of the people who was part of that protest actually started coming to the church as a result of a lot of this. I know. And so they were in the building later and they're like, I can't even believe all of this history, how we got from there to here anymore. So now I'm like, hey, to God be the glory, man. Right. Like, right on.
So let's talk a little bit about your church. What attendance trends do you see around Easter? Does that extend to other of the traditionally big Sundays like Christmas throughout the year?
Yeah, you know, you think about typically how churches have those swells right around Christmas time and Easter time. And those are the big things that, you know, I get all the emails for and the outreach magazines and stuff like that. That has just not been our experience basically at all since day one. It's a super young church, right? So we did this survey every year. 18 to 29-year-olds make up 66% of our auditorium, our adult attendance, right? So you start to kind of think about those numbers. Nobody grew up at Encounter. Like the church is 10 years old. They're not coming to grandma's church on Easter, on Christmas, stuff like that. We kind of align our year along the academic year more than the more traditional liturgical school year.
That's interesting. So you pretty much just see a lot of dip in attendance throughout those holiday seasons.
Yeah, that always frustrated me, right? Because again, like Easter should be huge, right? Easter is huge. Yeah. I know that. And it wasn't until I was like having lunch with my family and like my brother invited his grandmother-in-law and we're talking about church that morning. And she's like, oh, I just loved it because church is so full and like everybody is there. And I saw like so-and-so's grandkids and like some great grandkids were there too. Yeah. And it was like the most special thing. And I'm like, well, that's where everybody went.
Yeah, exactly.
They went over there. They went back home. Like that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. So is that something that you were easily able to embrace or is it something that you've kind of come to embrace or how have you kind of overcome some of the challenges with that?
Kicking and screaming is how I would describe that. Just Easter and Christmas are a big holidays for Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, what is happening, what we're celebrating on those days is much bigger than like for us fall launch. It's like back to school time. No, the resurrection is more important than those. And I want to celebrate those big. But God clearly had other plans along the way. And we've just kind of adjusted over time to figure that stuff out.
So how have you guys adjusted?
The strategy that we're currently using is a zig when others zag approach, right? We're a modern church and we do things probably pretty similar to some much larger churches in the area. And we just learned like we can't and it's not wise for us to try to duplicate what's offered by those churches. And so that's where the zig when others zag approach goes.
Got it.
So like they go all in on Easter, right? Like I remember as a kid going to some of these churches, my dad is very musical. That skips a generation, by the way, so don't ask me to like sing. And he would play in the orchestra of this one really large church in my hometown on Easter and on Christmas. And like, that's Easter and Christmas, right? That's huge. And a lot of churches do that sort of stuff. And we're like, yeah, that's not going to be our thing because the attendance pattern's going down so much. So we've learned for us, like this year, we're really promoting Good Friday.
Okay.
Which is kind of an unusual Christian holiday to really promote and to rally around.
Yeah.
But it's that idea that it's like, whoa.
Right.
That's unique. That's different. And honestly, we've seen more guests on Good Friday than on Easter.
That makes sense, though.
It does, yeah. That's where we're putting some of the efforts. All year long, like Encounter is super dialed in on what we do. It's very consistent of an experience from weekend to weekend.
So what does Good Friday look like?
Yeah. So we're really a celebration on the weekends type of model, you know, bright, loud, celebratory.
Yeah.
And Easter will be that as well. But Good Friday is dark. It's somber. There's an awkwardness to it, right? We leave and it's pitch black, or maybe it's just a glowing red or something like that. And you just leave in silence.
Yeah.
There's no big send off. We do communion on Good Friday. And most of the time it's like pass the little trays around and things like that, right? Because it's a decent sized church and you got to figure out the logistics of it all. But on Good Friday, we come on up.
Okay.
And we, you know, have those lines that form. We call that rip and dip style.
Yep.
Right. Otherwise, you might know it as intinction, depending on your cultural background.
Right.
We can't do that on Sundays, though, anymore, because we used to, and we had some people come forward, and they weren't really familiar with the process, and so we have, like, the bread and the cup out there, right, with the words and the person kind of holding it, and the person comes up, and they take the cup, both hands, and just start drinking it. Like, true story.
Just pounded it.
Okay, and then the person behind them, because we're sheeple at times. Yes. It's like, well, that's what we're doing, I guess. Exactly. So then the person behind
just passes the cup back.
Right, and they grab the cup both hands and just like take a big gulp out of it. And we're like, we're now like the little wafer and juice cup people.
So what are some other ways that you guys have adapted to cultural traditions? Like, obviously people aren't there as much on Easter Sunday. So how do you adapt knowing that traditionally or culturally people look to the church for Easter Sunday? What do you guys do?
On Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to make it special as far as our people goes and connecting with our community as well.
Yeah.
So one weird observation that I've made is that we meet in like a former fitness club, right? Like it is not nice. We have a face for radio and a space that lends itself to darkness. That's what I like to tell people.
Perfect.
So, but I've noticed that on Easter, even though in Christmas this is true, even though we're a really chill place, but people dress up.
Yeah.
Like whole families will come, like little kids, like little boys are in ties and the girls are in dresses and they're like decked out for Easter. And I'm like, this doesn't fit like who we are. And you know that you're not guests, but it's Easter. And so we're like, hey, you know what? As long as people are going to get decked up anyway, let's offer family portraits, get a photographer in and do a nice sitting with the family since they're looking all nice anyway, and then start promoting that. As far as like, hey, bring your neighbors, bring your colleagues, your cousins, whoever it is, to church on Easter and get their picture taken.
That's awesome.
There you go. Most churches expect their Easters to extend into the rest of the spring and they count for some growth each year. So knowing that it's not the case in your church, Dirk, what types of holidays or events, if any, do you guys lean on for that growth in the Sundays?
Yeah, so our attendance patterns and what we lean on, what we build around is much more around the academic school year. Think like your elementary school year, much more than the traditional Christian liturgical year. So we pour all kinds of energy and thought into the fall launch. That's the Sunday after Labor Day. That's Easter to us. That's the Super Bowl. That's everything. I mean, we get the food trucks out. We have a big campaign, right? That's what we promote. That's what we push for. And that's what kind of provides that initial growth that carries us into year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then it kind of, there's another little boost starting out that second semester. We've got a lot of college students as well. And honestly, people just get a little fatigued from Christmas.
Right.
You know, I've heard of some churches like taking the Sunday after Christmas off.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do it a little without telling people that we're taking it off. I used to call it seminary and Sunday back when I was in school because it's like, don't commit to anything. You could preach anywhere.
Right.
Everybody's looking right now.
Yep.
And you just like chill out for the early part of January, and then you like really hit it again as school begins and people get into those rhythms. The other thing is that I've noticed, and it just might be helpful maybe for some listeners, is we've seen, even though attendance is really down in the month of August, because it's still like summer and a lot of people are getting their vacations in, but we've noticed we have a higher than average guest numbers. So people are like starting to like drop
think
in.
About it.
Think about it. Yeah. Exactly. Like maybe I'm going to be like a church person this year. Right. I don't know. Let's try it.
Or trying to get into the routine a little bit too before school.
Yes, exactly. And then once school starts, we start to see those people start to become a lot more consistent.
Well, that's cool. So last question. If you were to give one piece of advice for church communicators this Easter, what would it be?
One piece of advice for Easter is to not be clever.
All right.
I always want to be so clever and like provide some new and fresh insight. And it's just like, if you're providing new and fresh insight on the resurrection, like maybe just step back and reevaluate right. what you're doing.
Right.
You know, it's just don't. All year long, I just pay attention to one powerful resurrection story that's happening right in our church community, right? Somebody who's experienced new life, somebody who's been radically transformed.
Yep.
And I just want that one story so that on Resurrection Sunday, I can tell everybody, listen, Jesus rose from the dead and the promises that you will too.
Right.
For sure. That's great. So Dirk, thanks for joining us. If you'd like to follow up with Dirk, we'll include links for you to contact him and check out the church website and show notes and everything from today's episode.
Thanks for having me, guys.
When we come back to the discussion, Josh and I will talk through some other insights that we've seen in the church world around Easter attendance, as well as what success on days like Easter should really mean. But first, let's get to a listener question. We love getting questions all the time from listeners. If you've got a question to ask for us to discuss, head over to churchjuice.com/podcast and click Ask a Question.
Yes, so today's Q&A question, it comes from Matt, and it's around church bulletins. And so Matt asks, our staff is in debate lately about our church bulletin. Is it worth the cost to continue designing, printing, and recycling each week, or should we move to a digital solution?
You know, we talked about this on the Church Juice blog last year sometime, and we gave a couple different perspectives on, you know, pro-bulletin, anti-bulletin. I would say it really boils down to your audience and knowing who you are as a church. So there are a lot of churches that don't use bulletins. The church that we're at has no Sunday bulletin at all, but we use other means to communicate everything that would be in the regular bulletin, just some other ways. But because of our audience and because it's a mobile church and all of those different things that go into knowing who your church is, that's what makes sense. But there are plenty of churches where having a bulletin, especially if you are an older congregation or even like middle-aged or older, I would say, or that's kind of the tradition, then a bulletin is going to be hard to get away from. So maybe you take things out of the bulletin or focus communication other ways. But I think going back to who you are, knowing who your congregation is, what their needs, desires are, that should kind of guide the discussion more than anything.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, this might be completely subjective, but just someone that has a family, and I know a lot of people in our churches have large families. And so for me, service is ending. I'm trying to find like my daughter's coat, and I'm so busy trying to hold on to things and then the crafts that they did in Sunday school and different things. So like the last thing I'm thinking about is making sure that I remember to take the bulletin with me.
Yeah.
So I could just really easily see things like that, especially in our church, just continually to be recycled and recycled and just kind of wasted paper. So I totally agree. Just kind of knowing where you're at and assessing the people in your church and seeing what's a better fit.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, great. Matt, thank you so much for your question. If you'd like to send us some more questions for the next season of the podcast, visit us at churchjuice.com/podcast and click Ask a Question.
All right, so we had a good discussion with Dirk, and I think it's interesting to see how churches adapt to attendance trends. So Dirk was talking about how they don't see a spike in attendance like the majority of churches will this weekend on Easter Sunday. But when they do see a spike, it's the fall launch or it's in line with the school calendar. So I would say that one thing that many churches probably need to rethink is how they define success when it comes to big days like Easter. I would say that for a lot of churches, success needs to look different than just what the attendance numbers look like on Easter Sunday. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. Too often, I think there is a celebration that is had if you have new people come around these holidays, and then it's very binary. And then it's like, yes, new people came, or people showed up that we didn't know on Easter and Christmas, so that was a win.
Yeah.
Or they didn't show up, and so everything that we planned and did was an epic failure. And so I think I totally agree, and something I've definitely appreciated even in conversations throughout this season is just the idea that there really is no kind of one-size-fits-all success failure when it comes to Easter and these big celebrations in the Christian calendar.
Yeah, I was talking to a group of churches this past weekend about what they're doing for Easter, and they were all from the same denomination, really from the same geographic area, but they all celebrate Easter very differently. And so for all of our churches to realize who we're reaching, to realize, you know, the number itself doesn't matter a whole lot, but what relationships are being built, or how can we build long-term growth out of this? That needs to be more of what defines success rather than a one Sunday attendance number, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really liked the conversation with Dirk where they're not trying to just force an expectation or a narrative into their church. You know, these are the two holidays that are most celebrated on the Christian calendar. And so regardless of what our church is like, regardless of the people that come and everything like that, we must do this on Easter. So I really appreciate the fact that they just were attentive to who's at their church, who's coming. You know, we talk about that survey that they did and just what the reality of the situation in their church is, and recognize that they may have a stronger outcome to reach their community, to establish better relationships if they shift their calendar focus to different events. So I didn't get the feeling that they were downgrading. I think they just were being honest about who their church is.
And Dirk said that they try to be consistent too. So
right.
Easter looks no different than the next Sunday. Whereas in a lot of churches, you'll see upgraded sound system and upgraded bands and all of that. And then the next Sunday, when people come back, that expectation is missed. And so those relationships don't get built because I show up twice and I get two very different experiences.
Right.
So that's something that people need to think through too.
Totally.
Like, how do we continue this? I think Easter Sunday is good to step up or to set the bar, but then you have to maintain that level
right.
too. So it's a good opportunity for us to make improvements that we can continue throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
All right. Well, thanks for listening and thanks for joining us today. Join us on our next episode when we talk with Joel Gorvett, who is the worship pastor at Journey Church, about what happens after Easter.
Church Juices podcast is available wherever you are. Subscribe from your favorite podcast service. Find the podcast on your Alexa device or follow along from our website.
Get the latest resources, podcast information, and subscribe to our emails all on our website. Visit churchjuice.com to get the latest church communication resources.
Church Juice's podcast is a production of Reframe Media, a family of programs designed to help you see your whole life reframed by God's gospel story. Church Juice is produced by Brian Haley with post-production by audio engineer John Reeder in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information about Church Juice, visit churchjuice.com. For information on Reframe Media and our family of programs, visit reframemedia.com.